But I had to get through some other things until he said, green light. So we're on green light. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We come and we thank you that you give word that will pierce our hearts. We come, Father, and we say our ears are open, our hearts are open, and the word that will be spoken, it's not Pastor D, it's your word that will be spoken, will go deep in our hearts, Father, and it'll make a change in us, and we will be doers of the word. And I thank you that your word is anointed and alive, and it keeps speaking even when they leave. In Jesus' name, everybody said, ah, Pentecostals are here. All right. Okay, I did my baby announcement. Here we go. When Jack and I got married, years ago, somebody gave us a wedding present. It was a wood plaque burnt in letters that said, God bless this home. As years went by, I thought the backside should have said, God bless this mess. Because there were days I'm wondering if it was blessed. But how many of you would like your homes blessed? Raise your hand. So if you didn't raise your hand, you want them cursed. Really? Okay, how many of you want your hand? Yeah, blessed. All right. Of course we do. But you know, when I look around at families today, in general, I'm not pointing, my eyes are closed, but when I look at families in general, I'm telling you, the first word that does not come to mind is blessed. I don't see that. And, you're like, wow. When you're in the middle of it, you're like, wow, families are struggling. Wow, I didn't know it would be like this raising kids. Or wow, I didn't know we'd be going from paycheck to paycheck. Families are struggling, all right? And they're not really blessed. We also have, I really think, a greater temptations along with the greater struggles today in this culture that we're living in. And one of them is there is more blended families. And that's a huge blessing. But it also gets really complicated. Some wars break out over the blended families, as you can only imagine. We also have probably the highest rate of single families than we've ever had before in this nation. And listen, single families, many times they're supported one income. And many times, a single family, they're doing the whole deal. They have the whole responsibility of raising kids because no one's coming alongside. So I would say that they don't look too blessed, all right? So today, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Today we're going to take the teachings of Jesus, Matthew chapter 5. It's called the Beatitudes. Anybody hear that word? Yeah, it's an old word. Carol? We know, where's the rest of these guys? Come on. The Beatitudes, all right? But I'm going to take these Beatitudes, and I'm going to make them, I'm going to apply them to homes. Now, if you're single or a student, and you're like, Pastor D, I'm not married. Listen, if I only knew half the stuff I know now when I started, been a lot easy. So, this is for everybody, even though I'm talking about homes. All right, and you can apply it to your life, or you can save it for a rainy day, and you'll be running around, oh, I remember Pastor D, what she said, oh my gosh, where is it? So my message is going to be for everybody. I'm also going to be really transparent. You're going to see laundry that you wish you never saw. But I'm also going to share things that I think that will help you. And just today, or yesterday, as I was preparing this, I had like, whoa, why didn't I think of that? Way back then. That was so cool. Thank you, Lord. So let me tell you a cute story a pastor friend told about their child. So that child's called a PK kid. And they're very interesting kids. And I love them because I got them. But this PK kid was a little girl, and she was in her Sunday school or children's church class, and they were having a discussion about arguing in the home. Parents arguing in the home. And this little girl says, my parents never yell at us. And the Sunday school teacher thought, oh, see, pastor's kids are just perfect. And then the little girl said it again to this teacher, very dogmatic. My mom and dad, pastor so-and-so and so-and-so, they never yell at us. And then the second breath is, but they yell at each other a whole lot. Okay, I am not perfect. I did not have perfect kids. I could write a book. I don't pretend to, but I'll tell you what, I learned and I still am learning. The perfect one lives in me. The perfect one who is perfecting me. And I am counting on more perfection. So I'm going to tell you some things, all right? But let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. These are the Beatitudes, red letter. That means it's Jesus. And he's talking to his disciples, but it's very interesting. They are not officially the 12 disciples. These are just the gang that was following him, followers of Jesus. So you could say, well, this is not disciples. I don't have to listen to it. No, if you're a follower, this is for you. So Matthew 5, 6 says, I'm reading out of the NIV. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So what did Jesus said they would be? All right, so if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're going to be? If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're going to be filled. You're going to say that about 20 times today, so get it, keep your Bible open. So, interesting, I look at so many homes, and they're not blessed, and they're definitely not filled with righteousness, all right? So, but you know what I see in homes today? They're searching, and they're striving, and everything they're dumping in there doesn't make them blessed. Anybody agree with me? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't point at anybody. So I'm seeing today that homes are not blessed and homes are not hungering and thirsting for righteousness. So they're not blessed. Now, the word blessed, that word Jesus says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be filled. Blessed is it does not exclude anybody. That word blessed, when Jesus was talking, didn't exclude all my redheads. It didn't exclude if you're over 50. That word blessed was for everybody. And the only way you get excluded from being blessed is if you don't seek God and hunger and thirst after him. Wasn't that interesting to think on? You should write that down. That was good. So, let's do Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. So, let me ask you a question, and I really just dare you to be really honest. In your life, personally, in your home, what are you hungering for? All right? What are you pursuing? What are you pursuing that really matters the most? All right? Now, some of us say, oh, Pastor D, I hunger and thirst after God, with that really religious voice. And if I were to go ask your kids, they might tell me something different. Because my kids used to tell different stories. I was like, gosh, all right? Now, but listen, if you are really honest, some of you might say, well, you know, Pastor D, I'm hungering and thirsting after relaxation and taking it easy. Or, you know, Pastor D, I just want to work hard all week and then play hard on the weekend. I just want to chill when it hits the weekend. And that's okay, okay? That's okay, sort of. I'll tell you why. There's other people, if I were to ask them if they were really, really honest, what are they hungering and thirsting for? What do they pursue? They would probably say their image. It's all about an image. It's about the house. It's about how my yard looks. I used to have a neighbor until he became unemployed. His yard was incredible. There were no dandelions, and mine was just full of it. And they just blow. And I know he did not think too much of us because, you know, those dandelions blow. But his image was his yard. And there's a lot of people, their image and what they're pursuing is their image of the kind of car they drive. Not me. I keep backing into that garage, keep dinging that thing. You know, I'm like, what? And Jim's like, D, what'd you do? I'm like, eh. So that is not where, you know, that's not me. But I have other areas. And, you know, there's some people when they walk into church, when they carry their big Bible and they walk into church, and their image is, we are the Christian family. And they sit down. But you don't know, they were just fighting and scratching on the way into here. Okay, so their image, And, you know, other people, if you really were to get them to be honest, what are they? Yeah, somebody was laughing back there. We used to have a few arguments on the way to church, and Cashman would pull the car over and say, we're not going to church until we get this thing settled. It's like, we're going to be late. We're going to be late. He would not walk in here if we didn't get it together. I was like, just slide in. They don't know that we were. So anyway, funny story. You know, some people, what they pursue is the win. They're pursuing money. They're pursuing a bigger house. I've been around parents a long time. They're pursuing the bumper sticker that says, my child is an honor student. Yeah. Or my child is on the traveling team. Yeah, they're just pursuing funny things, okay? But let's get honest. If you were to think about what you pursue, what you really hunger for, So I'm going to make it really easy. Just think about the last 7 days of your week. Now, I'll give you a freebie. If this one was so bad, you can take the week before, okay? So you don't look so fat. But really, most people in our culture, if they were to be honest what they were pursuing in the last 7 days of their week, it's not, they're not hungering and thirsting for God. They're not pursuing God. Matter of fact, they kind of pursue a lot of wrong things. All right? And I didn't say evil, but wrong things. And, you know, when you finally realize, wow, you know, if I had to be honest and tell you about my last 7 days, I don't think I was really pursuing too much. All right? So what's the answer to this? It's really simple. You have to change your appetite. Change your appetite. Write that down. That should be on your refrigerator. Change your appetite. Okay, now let's just suppose you just love pizza. Everybody say pizza, pizza. You don't care what kind, you just like pizza, pizza, right? And then one day you go, whoa, what is happening? Okay, because pizza, pizza. Because you have an appetite for pizza, pizza. So you decide you're going to knock off the pizza, pizza and go fish and chicken. Do not fry it. It really is not going to work, okay? Grill, broil, okay. Chicken, fish, veggies, raw foods, whole grains. And you do this for about 3 months, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I look good, I feel good. All right, then you think, and I actually did this. This is a while ago, because that's why we're wearing this outfit here, but anyway. 3 months after, you know, I had all those weddings last year, and I went off of pizza. And I was living for the last wedding Monday. Company left, and I met with my girls. And I said, I'm buying, we're going for pizza. And if we got room, we're going for ice cream. So we end up at Angie's house, and we bring in the most disgusting, oily pizza imaginable. And I haven't had pizza since January, and it's now July. I start munching on that, and I ate way too much. And also, I'm like, I don't really feel good. And the funny part was, it just didn't taste good. But it was an expensive piece, so what happened? What happened? My appetite changed. The things I used to crave for, because my craving for good things took over. All right? I probably need to do that again. Now, what's it have to do with blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be filled. If we are not pursuing and God is not your passion and you're not being filled, you're not blessed and you're not filled and you're not blessed and you're not filled, you have to change your appetite. All right? So how do you change your appetite? Pizza, no. What do? You know what you start doing? You start seeking God. You start spending time with God. And your 30-second app on your cell phone, I'm sorry, will not do it. That's like a drop, all right? So you're going to have to pursue him, seek him, spend time with him in the Word, all right? And then suddenly the love handles fall off and you go, oh, man, this is wonderful. This, I'm seeing more of a peace in my life and the power of God in my life. I'm telling you, it happens. And why? What happens is I start longing for God. All because change my appetite. All right, so pizza or God, all right? You know, the funny part, that junk food of the world, the things I used to desire in the world and that I found out really weren't filling me. Amazing to be full and to pursue the Lord. Amazing things, great things happen. So now that you've all developing a changed appetite, right? And now that you're all hungering and thirsting for righteousness and you're being filled, all right? So question, why doesn't this happen more in our homes? Why doesn't it happen more in our Christian homes? All right, pull your toes in. All right, I've had to tweak my life too as I study this stuff and just get ready. But listen, this is where I'm going to tell you the ugly, the honest stuff. I'm going to tell you what doesn't work and what does work in your home. And I'm still figuring out what works because, you know, I'm at different stages of my life. And I wish some of this stuff I would have known and applied. But I'm going to be honest. I'm going to tell you two things. Write these down. Two things that do not work for your homes to be blessed and filled. One, legalistic Christians. And the second one is lukewarm Christianity. Legalistic Christianity, write this down because you're like, what? I was like, all right. Legalistic Christianity and lukewarm Christianity. So what is legalistic? Legalistic is when you reduce your Christianity in your house to do this and don't do this. Can do and cannot. Should do, should not. Ought to, ought not. All right? You just have reduced your Christianity to a bunch of rules with no relationship. I'm going to say that again. You reduce your Christianity, the way you live your life, to just rules without a relationship, a personal relationship. And as my mother, the good Catholic girl, we used to say, boy, you can tell those Catholic girls when they get out of high school, they go wild. Why is that? Rules without a relationship, and usually it breeds rebellion. Okay, rebellion. So I will tell you what you do not, it doesn't work. Let me say, it doesn't work in your homes if you just do rules. But listen, I have a lot of rules, but make sure you've got relationship. Rules with relationship. Okay. I'm telling you, it doesn't work. Never works, as a matter of fact. The second thing that never works is being lukewarm Christian. Lukewarm Christianity in your house. Pastor D, really? Okay, lukewarm. It's when you believe in God. You believe in God. Everybody say that. I believe in God. But you know what? He doesn't live all the time in your house, in your life. All right? It's sort of like I'm a Christian by culture. I'm a Christian in name only. All right? And as I've looked in my life and I've done this, we've had to tweak this. There have been seasons. I'm not perfect. We are not perfect. If you know some of the stories, God's like, pray for me. But I looked at areas in my life that we became lukewarm. So how do I know if you're lukewarm? Well, number one, I am not to judge you. You're God's property. I don't go judging God's property. But I'm going to give you some things that were an indicator in my life, in our family, that we knew we were getting lukewarm, all right? So you don't have to go, hey, that's me. Just, all right? So this is number one. If you cannot tell me the last time you prayed together as a family, those were days that I knew, and it usually just slid in there, that we were becoming spiritually lukewarm. And I don't count, God is good, God is great, let us count us for this food or thank him for the food. That's not praying, okay? All right? That doesn't count for a family that comes together and prays. It's when you pray together and you start praying about important things as a family. When you start praying, your kids say, Mom, can you pray for me about school, about friends? Or they come and say, and we do this together as a family. There's so-and-so that was diagnosed with such-and-such. Let's pray. And we would pray as a family. Okay? But if you can't tell me, that's for me. If I could not tell you the last time we prayed together, I knew we were sort of becoming lukewarm. Okay? Sort of becoming. Oh, yeah, you're becoming lukewarm. All right. The other thing is, I'm trying to think one of the other ones. If you can't, this is my second one. If you can't, if all you do is tell your kids and you don't live this, I'm telling you, you become lukewarm. And if you can talk about everybody, but you don't pray about anybody, I found me getting lukewarm. So we would pray together about friends, and I had a truckload of family that weren't born again. So we would pray together for Aunt Mary, Uncle Pat, Aunt Teresa, Aunt Mary. Okay, so we would pray together for these family members, and then my kids would say, Mom, by the way, pray for so-and-so in my class. We had prayer together. Now my life has changed, but you know, Sherry and I pray together at the oddest times, but we pray together, and that's how I know if I'm not doing this regularly that I'm slipping into being lukewarm. So that's me in my life. So question: how do you know when you do have a Christ-centered home? How do you know if you have a Christ-centered home? Well, this is a good one. At the dinner table, we would, it was so common just to say, hey, at the dinner table, because we ate every night together. And we had to adjust it many times, especially when they hit high school, and they had to be at band practice at 4:30. No, 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, they had to be at band practice. We had dinner at 4:30, because having dinner together was very important. All right, so... but we would at the dinner table have conversations about, you know, while I was driving along today, you know what the Lord said to me? And we would just share this stuff, God-centered stuff, every day in our conversations. All right? When we're driving to WeKicks, you know, so I would, matter of fact, just this past week, but I don't have WeKicks anymore, but I'd say, hey, let me tell you, I got to share my faith with so-and-so. We just would weave it in our family, in our home. All the time, whenever possible, right? And that's how we kept God centered in our home. And if you never do that, that's probably an indicator that you're not a Christ-centered home. And maybe you're just a Christian, okay? But I think God wants you to pursue more, all right? So, can I give you a golden nugget about sharing? Keep it short and keep it fun if you're first starting, all right? I'll never forget. I had this family. It's none of you guys, okay? Over to our house for dinner. And I asked the father of the house if he would pray over the food. And he launches into this forever prayer. And this was rude. And his daughter, she was about 11. Oh my gosh, Dad, would you just pray over the food? Now that was very dishonoring. But he didn't get my golden nugget. Keep it short. And keep it fun if you're first starting. If this is something you've gone, whoa, I think I need a Christ-centered home. I think this is an indicator that I want to do this. This is keep it short and keep it just little, okay? The other one is, I hear this all the time. And even this week, I got to share this with somebody. Pastor D, we never pray. I was like, well, you should. Well, you know, my spouse doesn't want to pray. All right, you hop in bed together and you just... launch a 30-second prayer. Father, the spout, don't touch them. Don't make them grab your hand. You know, short. And you go, Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your blessings in our family. In Jesus' name, amen. Kiss your wife or kiss your spouse and go to sleep. That is a good start. And do that forever. Keep doing that forever. Because I'll tell you what happens. First, you disarm the one who says, I'm not praying with you. Okay? And they realize, that wasn't so bad. That didn't hurt so much. And then after a month, you can increase it by 30 more seconds. And then you go, Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for my spouse. What a wonderful spouse. Blah, blah, blah. In Jesus' name, amen. Kiss him and go to bed. All right? And you keep doing this. And because I was it. I was not the instigator of prayer. I had excuses why we weren't going to pray. And then one day, Jack got to the amen, and I launched off in prayer. And he's in there going, it was a setup. Okay, so you will then not be lukewarm because you got prayer going in your house. All right? Do it. Do it. Okay, so what's my golden nugget? Keep it short and make it fun. Keep it short and make it fun. Okay, the second thing never to do. okay, now let me rephrase that. So one of the other things, I don't know what number I'm on. One of the other things you can do to help be not lukewarm is leading your family out of harm. Harmful in their relationship with the Lord. Let me tell you. First off, women love men that protect them. And children expect parents to protect them. And as a Christian, Christ-centered parent, I forgot, what am I talking about? Parent, you are to protect your kids from in their relationship with the Lord, such as somebody says, Pastor, you're not, I'm the pastor. Hey, there's this great movie. So you truck your whole family to the movie, you pay this, you buy popcorn, you sit down. And in the first 15 seconds of the movie, they use the Lord's name in vain a zillion times. And if you are not lukewarm, you say, kids, I think we need to leave. All right? Because we're going to go play mini golf. All right? Okay? That is protecting your kids, their relationship. Did it bite your wallet? Who gives a darn? Come on, this is your kids. This is your family. This is relationships that you are, all right? Now, probably one of my regrets is having a TV, but anyway. We would watch TV, and in the beginning we would say, ah, grab a pillow! You know, something was on, and kids would grab a pillow. But after a while, we're like, just turn it off. Just turn it off. It's not good. And I was just telling Erica, a couple years, they were young, and it was just getting out of hand with TV, especially it was like the first week of vacation, summer vacation, and they were just sucking into the TV. And one time, Jack grabbed that TV, marched it to the end of our property, and it sat in the shed for the summer. Because we need it to not be lukewarm. And by the way, you know who hurt the most? I'm telling you, I was going to say some things. My kids, within one day, no biggie. All right? But you need to protect your kids from things that are harmful. Not just giving some of my fun things, all right? And if you're not leading your kids, chances are, like that, you might become a lukewarm Christian. And there have been days where I'd look back and I thought, oh my gosh, I think I was, yeah, could do that over again. Another thing that we would do in our family, we constantly, all the time, would say, oh wow, look how the Lord has blessed us. Such somebody did something to our family. We would always announce, look how the Lord has blessed us. I mean, it was just parking spaces. Wow, look how the Lord had blessed us. Clothes would come, oh, my favorite, black trash bags would come to our house, hand-me-downs. And we would go, wow, look how the Lord blessed us. All right? And then we would say, now we have been so blessed by the Lord, we should serve others. We should serve others. And we would go serve others, you know, in a variety of ways. And I'll tell you what, I saw this, and I see this a lot. After communion fellowship, I know, no condemnation. There's some of you, you got to get out of here. Kids are maxed out. They're on tilt. You have to be places. But for a bunch of you all, I have watched families stay. Little kids grab the buckets of water. Pastor D, what can I do? Little ones. And they start whopping the tables off, you know. And are they making a little more mess than I want? You know, when they're, I don't care. But I have watched families stay and little kids serve. Were they blessed? First off, they were blessed. They got free food and desserts. It's ridiculous. Just make sure sugar, tilt, okay? And let them eat it. I don't care. But they wanted to stay. And you know what? You are teaching your kids to serve. And if I am not leading my kids in serving, that doesn't mean you all have to stay, but I would really love it. After communion fellowship, if you wow, then I'm not lukewarm, all right? But if your kids, okay, Erica told me a hoot of a story about little Stephen. It was the first week that school got out, and she asked him to do something, and he's like, I'm on vacation. I'm on summer vacation. And I am rolling because I know what Erica, all right. I'm on summer vacation. I don't have to do anything. And Eric was like, where did he learn that? Because everybody in school was saying that, and he's just too little to comprehend. So she adjusted that. We serve. And you know what the Lord told me today? I was thinking about this. My kids all had chores to do, and we'd put, especially when they're little, we started with a chore list, you get stars, and then you get allowance. The Lord said, those were do's and don'ts, should's and should nots and stuff, and you should have called it serving. This is the serving list. I was like, man, I'm about 20 years late on that one. Because otherwise, sometimes it becomes very legalistic. If you don't do your chores, of course, if you don't do your chores, you're not getting your allowance. But just think how nice, and I'm teaching them, this is your serving list. All right, try it. Tell me what happens, okay? I was thinking on that. If you never say to your family how God has blessed you, and so now we're going to serve and we're going to give others, we're going to serve to the glory of God to make a difference, you might just be coming lukewarm Christian home, all right? I have a good friend, Mike, and he was telling me a story about his grandson, and he was probably only in first or second grade, and he had to have learned this from his parents. But one day he says, Mom, can I have a trash bag? And they don't live in the greatest neighborhood. Most of you don't want to live there. And it just bothered this little first grader, second grader, of all the trash. And he started picking up trash. And he would do it every day. And then he says, you know, Mom, she says, how come my trash can's full with these black? He said, I'm cleaning up the neighborhood. This kid knew to serve. And then he went and did the park. And anyway, they filmed him. Some camera team came in, and it's on something. But anyway, I thought, sometimes you have these amazing kids who just do this because of God inside. And other times, usually, we have been the parent that have demonstrated and taught our kids to serve. And if you're not doing this, if little Stephen would have gotten his way, I'm on vacation, you are lukewarm. Okay. Let me tell you, legalism. Being legalistic and lukewarm never works. You all know Revelation 3? I'd rather you were hot or cold than lukewarm. What happens when you get lukewarm in your mouth? God said, I'll spit you out of your mouth. Come on, guys. He wants us hot. Hot or cold just takes a side. All right? So these things don't work. Blessed are those who hunger and after righteousness they will be. Okay, so what does work? If you're taking notes, write this down. Brian, is this the one that I have? We are not just, is that it? Do you got that one? I gave Brian a whole bunch of notes. I can't remember which ones. Okay, if you're taking notes, write this down. In the beginning, this is going to sound so similar, but there is a big difference. Write this down. If you are just a Christian family, and not a Christ-centered family, you're not leading your family. Okay, now, what I mean? 80% of the United States, if you were to poll them and ask them if they're Christians, they'd go, yes, we're Christians. But they're not Christ-centered and they're not leading, right? All right, so just because you say I'm a Christian family doesn't mean you're really Christ-centered. There's a difference. Just because you say you're a Christian family doesn't mean you're Christ-centered, that you hunger and thirst for righteousness and you're filled, all right? So now, in other countries, if you say you're a Christian, it usually costs your life, and they are Christians. But where I live, People say all the time, I'm a Christian. And really what there is a Christian in culture, a Christian in name only. And they are not a Christ-centered. And I want you guys to have a Christ-centered. Because when you're Christ-centered, the blessings, they're oozing, all right? And you're filled. So, now it's really interesting. It does not say, blessed are those who believe in God when he's convenient. That's not how you get. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. So there's a lot of people that say, well, I believe in Jesus when it's convenient. All right, now, a lot of people, this is the Lord, and they just are so happy just to give the Lord this part of their life. I'll give you a piece of my life when I need you in my life, when I'm in a crisis in my life, and when it's convenient in my life. But really, guys, this is what the Lord wants. He wants to be the center. He wants all of you to pursue him. And it doesn't hurt, okay? It doesn't hurt to give him all of you. And there have been seasons in my life that I've been silly, all right? So we need to change our appetite. Everybody agree? We need to. Now, turn over to Psalm 63. David wrote this. And I love David because I'm named after him. Hallelujah. Psalm 63, verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you and I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in dry and parched lands where there is no water. He's not saying, hey, God, you know, when it's convenient, I need you. That's not what he's saying. You know what he's saying? God, I need you every moment of my day. Every bit of me longs for you. Does that sound like blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled? You hear David's heart? That's our heart when we're Christ-centered, right? Amen? And you know, let me rewrite this for families. I'm going to rewrite the Cashman version for Psalm 63. Write this down if you have a family. Ready? You, God, are our God. Earnestly, we seek you. We thirst for you. Our whole family longs for you. That's a Christ-centered. And, you know, you might just have to put that on the mirror and say it and say it and say it to remind yourself. Christ-centered, pursuing what matters, right? All right. Can you imagine some of the silly things that we put instead of God? Oh, God, my car, how I pursue it. Oh, God, fun and relaxation. Oh, how I pursue it. How it means so much to me. Those are just silly things, all right? Blessed, ready to do it again. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Amen. So how do we do that? I'm going to give you some practical, really easy things, all right? If you're taking notes, write this down. Brian's got another one. We want to help our families to see God as loving, to see God as love, to see, we want to help our families see that God loves them, okay? That's number one. We want to help our families see that God is approachable. It says, enter into his gates, come boldly into the throne, all right? You want to, in your families, you want this to be real, all right? The last one is we want to see in our families to see God as involved. Guys, he wants to be involved in everything or, you know, not just a little thing, all righty? So, better yet, we need to create an environment in our homes where it's just the thing kids want to talk about, not they have to. Now, I told you years, when my kids hit about middle school, we used to have to. You had to be up at 6 a.m. because the bus came at 6:50. All right? But they had to be in the living room. Had to be in the living room at 6:15. Back then, Sherry didn't wear no makeup. We could peel this off, tell you what. And they had to have a Bible time, a reading time, and we gave them two colored markers. One is what spoke to them, and one is something, something. I don't remember, okay? Those are have-tos. There'll be seasons where you shoulda, oughtas, and you just make it they want to. And there'll be seasons when you have to. And you'll know the difference, okay? But really, you should create an environment where kids want to. When they want to see God in their life, okay? And they want to hear about God. That's the highest, okay? It was not uncommon to throw a bunch of kids in the back of my car, and they'd be singing. Now, first we started, I'm from North Jersey, and I'm from the 70s, so we sang Motown, all right? But later on, we started singing Christian praise songs, and then we just would sing them and scream them, and if I had to do Father Abraham one more time, I was going to throw a kid out the window. But those are easy, practical things you can do, all right? Especially now, because what we usually do is we give them their own electronic device, and it's not family time. So pull back some of those devices you give kids, all right? Family bedtime. It started with my first one, and we would pray with every kid. Well, one was easy. You just go and pray for one kid. Then you had two. Then you'd hop from one bedroom to the other bedroom. And at one time, I had half of them all in the same bedroom because we couldn't fit them all in the house. But you know what? Finally, I said, forget this. Family bedtime. Everybody pile into our bed. And we did this through junior high. And sometimes we would do Bible stories, not all the time. Sometimes we did the Narnia series. We would read those series. We did Little House on the Prairie series. We got our kids that God was part of our life, all right? And it was a riot. And we only had a queen-size bed. I really needed a king-size bed. But family bedtime should be so cool. So cool. The other thing I found out, when my kids became teens, I'd go to bed, passed out at 10 o'clock, and somebody would go, are you awake? Did you know what I found out? They don't go to bed when you go to bed. Teens do not go. They're up. Are you awake? Of course you say, sure, come on in. And they sit down, and they start pouring out their hearts, all right? And you know what? You set a Christ-centered home where your kids know you're approachable and God is approachable. And to this day, I talk to my kids all throughout the week, Joy probably more so, but just about every time she ends a phone conversation, Mom, could you pray for me about blah, 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 blah. All right, she's pushing 30, and that is because that was a part of our life, praying for one another. So, okay, quiet in here. I love you guys. I love you guys. All right. So, number one, if you were to take notes, how do you have a Christ-centered home where your kids, your family are hungry and thirsty? Number one, involve God in your daily conversation. Okay, real simple one. You're driving down the road, carload of kids, just your spouse, I don't care who, and you go, whoa, look at the sunset, or whoa, look at the rainbow, awesome. No, no. Instead of saying that, you go, man, isn't my God, isn't your God incredible? He made that for us. I have now just involved God in our conversation, and that's normal, all right? Wasn't that easy, all right? How about in your marriages? You know, you're sitting, you've got a big thing that hit, and your spouse is saying, you know, I don't know what to do about this, blah, blah, blah. And I've made a list of all the pros and the cons. I just don't know what to do about it. This is where you get God involved in the conversation. You say, hey, let's just pray about it. We've got the God of all wisdom. Let's ask him. That was easy. You have just, and you do this in front of your kids, all right? And you do it with your spouse. And you've just made God involved in your life. Christ-centered in your homes. Not lukewarm and not legalistic, all right? All righty. And don't forget to pray at bedtime, all right? I told you that forever anything that happened, we would say, man, we are so blessed. Man, we are so blessed. So it's very interesting now when I get together with my kids, and they'll bring up the past, some of them not the good past, most of the good stuff, and they would say, Mom, I used to work at the JCC when Cassie was four for about 10 years because my kids got free swimming lessons. You have four kids. That gets a little pricey. And I could get free aerobic classes. So my kids to this day, they go, Mom, man, we were so blessed. We got to go to the JCC. They thought they were members. We got to go to the JCC, Mom. And we had free swimming lessons. All right. That was because we would say all the time, for everything, for anything, we are so blessed. And I watch my kids. They know it and they say it. Another one, we wanted to go on a vacation. This was like the first biggie. And we had researched what it would cost to rent a house down at the beach. And we came up short. So we asked our good friends, Bevy and Scott, if they'd like to split the house with us. All right? And the reason why we did is we didn't have enough money. But you talk to my kids now. Mom, we were so blessed. We got to go with another family. You Molinars, you know, it's because they helped the money. All right? They don't get that part. They just knew. But when we would say all the time, man, we are so blessed. I didn't quite say that after the 10 or so hours in the car when we all went rolling out. But, you know, all throughout the week, we'd go, oh, this is so cool. We're so blessed. This was daily conversations. We involved God. That he was there. And to this day, you bring up these things, they go, oh man, we're so blessed. Those bag of clothes, we're so blessed. The vacation, they're so blessed. All right? Now, number two thing. So that's how you involve God in your everyday conversation. Number two one. I'll die on this one. So just get ready. Church is non-negotiable. If you want to make Christ-centered, you better make church non-negotiable. So I was good. Now, I got different issues now. I've got adult kids in my house, and it's not where I want it to be, okay? Being honest, it's not where I want it to be. But back when they were in high school in my house, you didn't work on Sunday. That was non-negotiable. You came to church, period. Why? Because your dad's the pastor and we're going. And if you think I'm leaving you home, no way, all right? But really what it was is what we did then when we said church is non-negotiable is this is a priority. The God who we worship, we honor him. This is a priority. When we said church is non-negotiable, this is a priority. We honor God. Because I got to give you four scriptures on why we go to church, okay? And this is who we are. We gather together. We fellowship together. This is non-negotiable. So my kids knew that. And they would bring kids to church with them. Because they didn't want to miss church. And I don't care how many kids slept over on Saturday night. Because this was non-negotiable. It's very seldom that I let them spend the night Saturday night. You could have someone at my house because this church, going to church was non-negotiable. And for crying out loud, it starts at 10:30. Cut me a break, you know. And it's less than an hour. It's an hour and a half. Today, I'm going to go a little bit, okay? All right. A Christ-centered home is who we were. It's who I am. And my kids knew it. And they actually, you know, they just didn't do it. So anyway. Number three, last one, I'm wrapping up. Number three, show your kids that you are seeking and serving God. Again, seeking God, prayer, all right? Just include prayer all the time. Seeking God in the Bible. Especially when they're little, it was real easy. Every morning, where did you find Jack? On that end of the sofa. Now, he got up real early, so a lot of times he was gone before they got up. But they knew Daddy was there. And then I got up, coffee, and I was sitting on the other end of the sofa. This was who we were, and our kids knew that we seek God in the Word, all right? It wasn't, and a lot of times, remember, keep it short, be smart, just come and sit next to me. I didn't say, get your butt, when they were little, when they got older, I told you I changed. But we would say, just come and sit next to me. They'd just pile, cuddle up, and sit while we read the Word, because that's who I am, that's who we were, it's just our life. And so then when they got a little bit, oh, I got to find my Bible. And they couldn't even read. So they're looking for picture Bibles and stuff. And that got in them, all right? We taught them, we lived it, a Christ-centered home, all right? This teenage thing, I don't want to do it over again. I'm just glad it's over with, but anyway. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. Amen. Last thing, write this down. You can have what God wants you to have if you will pursue him. You can have the life God wants you to have because he doesn't exclude anybody if you'll pursue him. You can have all that God wants you to have if you'll pursue him. It's you, right? All right, well, you go, Pastor D, you don't know. I'm a mess. My wife's a mess. My kid's a mess. What do I do? Okay, can you just live it in front of them? Can you just include God in your conversations? Can you just show your kids serving? Can you do that? Yes, you can. That's easy. You can do that. All right? It's easy. Just start. All right? Now, one more scripture. Joshua, most of you know this. Joshua 24, last scripture, I promise, last scripture. Joshua 24, I'm going to take a couple pieces out of it. Joshua 24, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve. But for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then choose for yourself this day who you will serve. But for me and my household, we will be Christ-centered. So the question is, who do you choose today? Who do you choose today? Are you just going to be a Christian home? I hope you're Christians, but are you just going to be a Christian home, or are you going to be a Christ-centered home? Because blessed are those that hunger and thirst for the Lord. They'll be filled. All right? So you guys want to bow your head? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, that your word creates hunger. I thank you, Father, that today we have an appetite for you. And if you're here and you go, man, Pastor D, I don't think I've been hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I don't think I've been pursuing God. I've just been a Christian. That's okay. Pastor D, I think my appetite's been kind of filled with, you know, sometimes they're not bad things. They're just not things that will satisfy us. So, Lord, I pray for everyone in this place that if they would just really be honest, look at their last 7 days and say, Lord, I need an appetite change. And I'm going to make adjustments in my life for me and for my household. And we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.